Dialogue is my favorite technical aspect of writing a book. So every time before I do the dialogue, I always have characters have conversations in my notes app on my phone. So I make them talk to each other. And this goes on for like weeks. So I put on a random topic and then they go back and forth. So when it comes to actually writing the book, it just feels natural. So I'm not sitting there thinking, what would this person say? How would they say it? The, specifically with Mabel, I was watching Coronation Street. I forgot what character it was, but it was just, it felt the way they were going back and forth is just like I thought, if I could make this my own, I could like throw in topics that I personally find funny. And there was just something so funny about an older white woman complaining about things that didn't really need to be complained about that I thought was really funny, and specifically complaining about a person who was just she's probably not as bad as she's saying she's this, but she really, really hates her, and the passion of the hate is so outsized compared to what the person actually does to her.
Hello and welcome to part two of our interview with Alvin James Mensah, author of Small Joys, on Akadi Magazine's Connecting Communities podcast. My name is Abena Sewa, the editor of Akadi Magazine, and you were just listening to Alvin, who started to share details of his forthcoming book. In this episode, he tells us more about the writing process, how the Coronation Street soap inspired one of the characters in the book, and he reveals details of his second novel. This interview with Alvin was recorded at the end of 2023. The episode was edited and produced by Camo.
One of the things that I noticed, yes, is about the music. Now, you talked about that and you talked about your, it's so prevalent, and I loved it because it was the music that I grew up listening to as well, so I could almost hear it. It was brilliant. So you talked about wanting to be a music journalist, and maybe that's not something that couldn't happen still, but
Okay, so I'm going to merge two questions together. I don't think music journalism is in my future anymore, but the main character in book two is going to be a music journalist, and it's set in 2006, so a year after Small Joys. It's not a sequel, but I'm going to have characters from Small Joys appear in it. And I like that I can say they were hesitating now because they've read the draft and they approve. So it's going to happen. So with music, because I wanted to be a music journalist. When I think back over the last 10, 20 years of my life, like I think of them in like what was into at the time. So for example, and you can laugh at me if you want, but 2002 is such a significant year for me because it's when like I started like basing so much of my life around pop music. So Christina Aguilera in 2002, kind of like when I think about the year, it's when I started like becoming like a stan of artists. Like when I was like looking forward to album releases, single releases, interviews, like looking at Top of the Pop, CD UK, all that stuff, and be like, yeah, this is where my joy is coming from. And ever since then, like so much of my life, I think. So if I know what Beyonce released in 2006, I can work at what I was doing with my life in then too. And that's how much like the music, well, specifically R&B and pop music, that's how much it means to me. And now that I'm 30 next year, so now that like my life is full of so much nostalgia, it kind of means a lot to me. So that's why in book two I decided to make it even more music orientated. So now where the draft is I'm trying to do a it's four main characters, it's four black British guys, and I'm trying to have it like a Sex in the City vibe with it. So Sex in the City, but with four black British guys, and it's the mid-2000s. It's just my favorite era to be in. Yeah, so that's where I'm at with it. Now,
When will that come out, do you think?
spring 2025.
Oh, I can't wait. So does that mean Harley's in it?
I don't know if you want me to tell you. I'm just going to tell you. He is in.
That means he'll be at uni-ish.
So he'd be so when you meet him in the novel, you're gonna meet him in uni, and you're gonna if you've read Small Joys before, then you'll see like his progress with anxiety and how confident he is now with his new circle of friends, and maybe some old friends. But and I wanted to be like so you didn't have to read Small Joys before you read it. So if you haven't read it, you just won't care. But if you have read it, you'll see. Oh, okay. So he was here when we left him. And now he's here.
Brilliant. Why do you have different book covers depending on the country? Maybe that's a stupid question.
Well, oh no, not at all. So the publishers say certain audiences react to different things. So he said the UK cover was it was always going to have people on the front, but in America it's just kind of like a vague kind of blue sky with like birds on like the phone wires and stuff. And I was told different audiences react to different things. So I think the line was America's like abstract and bright colors. I don't know how true it is. What I think is they just had an idea for their own cover, and that's what they went with. It said they told me something, shut me up. But I think may it could be like the different publishers just can want to have their own cover to promote, so it kind of like differentiates. I'm excited to see because it's coming out in Spain soon, and I'm excited to see what cover they're gonna come up with to see what differences and stuff. But from like a social media point of view, I like having different covers because I like posting, so the posts are different and there's like different engagements, so we're not liking the same things over and over again. So for example, they're changing the UK cover for the paperback. We're going to have real people on the cover, so that's exciting.
Because I know somebody's drawn Harley.
But yeah, so this is something I'm taking into book two. Okay, let me talk about the drawing first. So I found someone who read the book. He messaged me saying he really loved it, and I noticed he was an illustrator. And I'm like, if I was going to hire an illustrator to depict some of the characters, this person would be perfect because they told me they loved the book. And their thing was drawing male intimacy. And I'm like, I can't pass this up. But I have to ask him if he'd be willing to do it. So he did it, and he's just been absolutely amazing.
I did go to Africa, right? But I'm really excited about what seems to be this ex explosion of, as I said, people like diasporans from Ghana or from other African countries who have been born in this country, and that sort of explosion of literature that's coming out from,
There's so many.
yeah. So you mentioned Caleb before, but I almost feel like what I've seen, and you tell me because you're in those circles more than me, I feel like there's a lot more honesty in terms of what we're writing about, those tough topics, such as, the mental health journey that you find in Small Joys. You're talking about it. And I almost feel like I think about Jessica George as well. Those
Oh
things
yeah,
that our
Mama.
parents, those things that our parents say, well, just don't be telling people. Don't tell the public, don't tell your friends about these things
Oh.
that you're going through. Just pray and it will be all right.
Oh yeah. Oh God. Even you saying that just made my heart go like I really so hard. Oh my God. I think there's different ways we can look at this. Okay, so I feel like maybe from a publisher's standpoint, I don't want to seem too cynical. I feel like with because Caleb is Zeman is a bestseller. Jessica George, it became a bestseller. I feel like it's more okay, this sells, so we're gonna do more. We're gonna do more of it. It's like okay, if we weren't talking about mental health before, if we're talking about it now, and we see the money, then yeah, let's go for it. Now, from a writer's point of view, I think I've been you get to a point where in your life where like maybe the things where like if your parents have tried to like suppress you or try to like keep you from talking about certain things. I've been noticing that, and actually, you just get to a point where you have to release it. You have to say something, and if you're a writer, it's going to come out in the form of some sort of novel or some sort of writing project. And I think because I feel a lot of us were like we're close in age, so I feel like if we were younger and we all had our struggles, and we all like were going through like certain things that we weren't allowed to talk about. Eventually, when after you come of age, you're going to have to release it, and I'm guessing a lot of us released it at the same time, and that's why it seems to be. It seems to be like the last few years. It's been like so many mental health books, but so many like specifically like coming from Black point of view. But what I can't explain is why it seems to be like this year alone. It seems to be like so many like specifically British Ghanaian releases. So obviously you had like even like Crystal's Zaria Pia, I think. And then I think it was that month to month. So you had Rootless, and then you had before that you had Marmee, Rootless, me, and then you had Caleb Zuma Nelson, and it's I don't know why it was all so like this like so like back to back like that. That I can't explain. But I think like generally, I feel like if you've been suppressed, and you had to like keep like things that have been, I guess, more taboo to talk about. Eventually, you're gonna have to say something and gonna have to release it, and this is just the way it was released.
Yeah. So I actually met Crystal and also Marie Claire because she's got a book out as
Yes.
well.
Oh my God, I love her.
Yeah. So they were talking, and one of the things that was interesting, both of them said it about us as in British Ghanaians, I guess, or people, this diasporan identity not being a monolith. And I remember I lived in Ghana at one point, and the perception of being a British Ghanaian to a Ghanaian Ghanaian was quite different, like this idea that we knew about lots of different things and we weren't one thing. And it's almost like the books are helping to explain that and show this kind of multiplicity, of identities, which I think is interesting because it's one thing to try and explain that to a cousin, and then it's another if they can read that in a book and see some of the challenges that we face living here and having these maybe sometimes conflicting identities where you're code switching, and you
Oh
talk
yes.
about that through being queer and having to maybe dumb it down when you're in certain circles.
Oh yeah.
You do that as well when you're in Ghana. I don't know if you speak the language, but that's like another dimension on top of that.
I should say I used to speak it a lot, but then it kind of like over the years it's kind of going away. Like my brother speaks it like he was born in Ghana. He wasn't, but he speaks it. He says sometimes he says some things that like my mom doesn't even understand.
Oh.
And but with me, I speak like half. Even when I'm speaking to a Ghanaian, it's a half English, half Tree. But
Okay.
it's yeah. But it's kind of like it's been like slipping away. So I find myself I keep speaking just in English to my mom, and I kind of hate it. I like the fact that I can speak two languages. But yeah.
So were you taught it in Britain or did you live in Ghana?
Oh, so I was born in Britain, and I guess I was speaking just because like my mom always like spoke it to me, and it's the spoken language in my house.
Hmm.
And when I was younger, I used to speak it like 80% of the time. Like conversations with my mom would be like 100% Tree, but then I've been noticing ever since when I went away to uni, and then when I moved to Wales, it's kind of like if you're not using it, you lose it. When I came back, I was like, why am I not speaking in Tree to you? Like I can't help it. I have to think about it to translate, and it's kind of going away, and I kind of hate it. But now that I'm back, hopefully
Yeah.
I can start speaking Tree again.
Awesome. And my last question was just related to your writing style. And when I spoke to you before, I talked about, is it Mabel? I think she's like one of my favorite characters in Small Joys. Is that
Yes.
Maddie's grandmother? I love her. And initially, I'm from Birmingham. I was born in London, but from Birmingham. So initially, when I was listening, or I say listening, but it did feel like listening to the dialogue, it was a bit difficult for me to get into until I did get into it because it's kind of a bit up north because Muddy's from
Manchester,
Manchester.
yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just found it really interesting how you're able to channel this other identity through these, like an older character who speaks really northern and she's hilarious, Mabel. I love her. But yeah, can
Thank
you
you.
talk to us about how you channeled those voices?
Dialogue is my favorite technical aspect of writing a book. So every time before I do the dialogue, I always have characters have conversations in my notes app on my phone. So I make them talk to each other. And this goes on for like weeks. So I put on a random topic and then they go back and forth. So when it comes to actually writing the book, it just feels natural. So I'm not sitting there thinking, what would this person say? How would they say it? The, specifically with Mabel, I was watching Coronation Street. I forgot what character it was, but it felt the way they were going back and forth is just like I thought, if I could make this my own, I could like throw in topics that I personally find funny. And there was just something so funny about an older white woman complaining about things that didn't really need to be complained about that I thought was really funny. And specifically complaining about a person who was just she's probably not as bad as she's saying she's this, but she really, really hates her, and the passion of the hate is so outsized compared to what the person actually does to her, and that just kept making me laugh. So like I was kind of like basing Mabel on that character I saw, and that like, the way that like the dialogue ran, and how like she kind of like try and mimic that, because obviously like, I'm not northern. I have like one northern friend, and it felt really funny to me. So I tried to channel that based off that episode of Coronation Street.
Honestly, I love that. I hope she comes back in the next book. I don't know. I mean, she just.
So when the paperback comes out, I've written a short story from Muddy's perspective, and they're gonna put it in the back of the paperback. So Mabel does come back, and it kind of like ties up some loose ends with like Muddy, his granddad, his nan, and kind of his life. So she will
Yeah.
come back. She
Oh, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. I mean, I feel like I haven't talked enough about Muddy, but honestly, I feel
Oh.
people should read this book. I feel like I love the journey that you go on. Emotionally, I went
Thank you
on a
so much.
journey reading your book, and I love the fact that it was a celebration of what maybe some people might call the mundane, you know, just the everyday going to the shops.
Exactly what you mean, yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm gonna sort of hand it over to you if there's anything you feel like I haven't touched on that you want to mention or talk about, Muddy, anything.
I like that we focused on Harley because I feel like at least from reading like the reviews and stuff, it's like I feel like Muddy's like the character that people usually come away talking about the most. So
Really?
this whole
Yeah,
podcast has been really
podcast.
nice, like focusing on Harley on Harley and like and stuff that's going on with him. So this has been really good. I feel like we covered everything that I would have liked
Okay.
to talk about. So thank you so
Thank you
much.
too.
Thank you for listening to this episode. To listen to more content like this, visit our monthly Acadi magazine Connecting Communities podcast on Apple, Spotify, Buzzsprout, or wherever you listen to your audio. Follow our news on acadimagazine.com and acadimagazine.co.uk, and access exclusive early release content and discounts at ko-fi.com/Acadi Magazine. The music in this episode is called Life No Day Easy by Chechaku and the Super Pong Stars, and is a special remix exclusively for Acadi Magazine. Super Pong Stars is a high-octane patchwork of Ghana's indigenous genres, including palm wine music, high life, Afrobeat and Afrofunk. You can find out more about the band on their Instagram, Super Pong Stars. Thank you.